wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. I at his gates I count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his hand, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Oh, thorns compose so rich a crown. Thank you, Lord. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, if so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Amen. Please be seated, church. Well, praise the Lord. It is, and thank you, Debbie, so much. What a blessing. That piano sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes.
All we need is a full-time player. And I know a young lady, that's already a member of this church who wants to be our piano player. Her name is Sydney. We've got to get her some piano lessons, and she's going to be ringing that thing. I can see it now. Well, folks, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Amen. And the joy of the Lord brings unity, and it defeats the devil. The devil wants to get you down. The devil wants to knock you out. But the joy of Jesus is a strength that no matter what you're facing, it's minimal, you know? Paul said it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. So I'm so glad tonight that Pastor Bart is with us again. We love this guy. And some of you, he was your pastor, for some of you, for 30 years. So some of you know him a lot better than me, but I've known him for 28 years, and I've grown to love him and appreciate him and Debbie and the ministry that they've given him. He pastored for how many years, brother, before you went to evangelize?
27.
27 years he was a full-time pastor and full-time carpenter. And his boss is a carpenter, too. And and the Lord called him to go on the road. You know what a sacrifice that is? To take your wife, and at the time, some of the kids with them, I'm sure, on the road, evangelizing. Thank you, sister. Hey, we got Pastor Bart on there, too. what a blessing to support his ministry and to know that he's going all up and down the United States and all across and back the United States and back. So we're so glad he's with us tonight. And if we're lucky, we may get him on the rebound. He's going to, after tonight, he's heading up into Maine to do a circuit up in Maine. And he might be able to stop by on his way back. We're praying about that. So praise the Lord. Come on, brother. And give us what God gave you for us. Yeah.
All right. Sure good to be here tonight. Appreciate it. And thank you for your support to us. That's a blessing. You're faithful with it. We appreciate that ever so much. Very kind of you. That does help more than you realize. It's a blessing to be, have continual, dependable support in that context. We appreciate that very much. So appreciate you letting us come tonight. And it's good to be here and see y'all. I haven't seen some of you in a little over a year. Amen. Or about a year. Praise the Lord. So glad to see you're still looking. Y'all look pretty much like you looked last time I saw you, by the way. So. I don't know what that means. I guess you haven't aged any, but still steady at it one way or the other. So life just kind of cruises along, doesn't it? Amen. Now, the Lord did send us out into evangelism back in 06. And we've been doing that, and now we live full-time on the road. So we're everywhere most of the time. Folks say, so where's your home? I said, I'm in it right now.
Yeah.
Don't get nervous. We do leave very shortly. But it's quite interesting how that works. Some folks think it's a permanent vacation, but I guarantee you it's not. Like I told somebody recently, I said, yeah, the only problem is that somebody else controls your money, your time, and where you're going to be. That's all. So basically, it's just subject to whatever is going on. And that's kind of an interesting way it works out. But we had no complaints whatsoever. God's been very good to us, very kind to us, very gracious, very generous. Besides, we get to serve the living God, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Creator of heaven and earth. All the other gods that are in the world are nothing. The Bible says we know that there are no gods. There are no other gods but God. And we know who He is, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And He actually wants us to know Him, which always blows my mind. Why would He bother with us?
Amen.
Have you checked yourself out lately? Do you think you're really worth God messing with? Amen? I'm not. I know that. But He does, because He loves us and cares for us, and because of His nature and His personality, that's what He does. And so I appreciate that very much. And what I try to do is encourage people to get closer to Him. My business has been, for a long time, trying to get folks in touch with God. I'm not that terribly worried if you like me or not. I am concerned that you get to know God better. He'll do you more good than I ever will. And He's a lot sharper than I am, or anybody else for that matter. And your business is with Him anyway, because He's the source of all that matters in this world and universe, actually. And if you get a hold of Him and get with Him, then you can discover the fountain, the source, the beginning, if you will, the opening of where everything that is worthwhile comes from. And that's why we do what we do, and that's my basic message. I asked the Lord when I got doing this, I said, so am I going to have to preach the same message over and over again? He says, yep. I said, I don't want to do that. He says, yes, you will. I said, well, I don't want to. And I said, why would they do that? I don't like it when evangelists come in and just pull one out of the stack and preach it. I said, I'd rather they find out what's going on and from you and preach what you want them to preach and so on and so forth. He says, that's what they do. He says, this doesn't look like it. Now I understand that. I understand that, basically, because fundamentally, I might preach the same message over and over again, but it's going to be different depending upon where I am. Because we try to have the Lord lead us and direct us in what we do, where we are. And so while I have the same basic theme, basic text, if you will, the message is always different. You can ask my wife. Sometimes I preach a message she's heard before, and it wasn't anything like she heard before. And she actually had to stay awake through the whole thing. So if you've heard me as much as she's heard me, you'd sleep too, trust me. I don't blame her for that. Amen. So that's what we do, and that's why we, that's our basic, fundamental, essential purpose. So take your Bibles tonight. I'm going to talk to you about something here I think is very important. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start reading about verse 9. Bible says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, verse 10 now, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now look in verse 14. Notice, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Let's pray. Father, help us this evening. We need your help. As always, we thank you that we can have it. Thank you for the words that you've given us and for the truth that they hold. We thank you that you've guided us in them and that we might apply these truths to our lives. Father, our business is you, and surely you are concerned about us. And so, Father, help us to understand that tonight. Lord, affect us as you wish, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when you got saved, you bought into something that God did. Amen. You actually became saved because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And it is that his blood that paid the price for our sins. Now, when he died on the cross and paid for our sins, he proved it, that he was who he said he was, because 3 days later he came out of the grave on his own, by his own power and strength, proving the fact that he had borne no sins, that he had no sins of his own, but that he had borne our sins, I should say, on the cross, and that he had paid for them because at the direction and hand of God, that it was God's blood actually that paid for our sins, that God himself died for us, in the sense that he died as a man, and it was his blood that he shed to pay the price he expected, he exacted of us, that we couldn't pay. Amen?
Amen.
And when that blood was shed, God had it finished, the atonement was done, and any man who wants to can be saved. There is no limit. Amen? All the world can be saved if they come to Jesus Christ and accept what he has done. They're trying to accept him in something else, they're not going to get saved. They try to accept him in sacraments, they're not going to get saved. Accept him in baptism, they're not going to get saved. Accept him in their good works, they're not going to get saved. And accept him in anything. You can't add anything to what he's done because it is a finished, completed work. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
So, basically, when that happened, when he paid for our sins, after that, any man that trusted him could go straight to heaven. Amen? After they die, obviously, or leave this world. When you leave this world, you're going to go to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not because of anything you've done.
Yeah.
Not because of anything you're going to do, but because of what he's done. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So it was complete. How about that? That's a pretty good deal. Amen? But here's the thing. A few other things happened to you in the course of events because of that, that, well, that's pretty interesting. For one thing, the Bible says that you were born again. When you got saved, you're born again. Amen? Now, we oftentimes will equate being born again with being saved because effectively it happens at the same time. But basically, you didn't have to be born again to be saved. Amen? You just had to get saved. You trusted Christ as your Savior. The Bible says you must be born again because we link those together in the context of salvation. But God could have saved you without you being born again because basically it was the blood that saves you. Being born again doesn't save you. It comes with being saved, amen? And it's like starting life all over again. That's a blessing.
Amen.
I've had folks that got saved when they were 40 years old and they thought because they've been in church the most of their life, one way or the other, that they knew something. They don't. You got saved when you were 40 years old, you started right there, amen? You were born again spiritually. You were born of the Spirit, the Bible says in John chapter 3. You were born that way and that life became new in you at that moment. You didn't have that before. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. You were a loser before. You had no hope. Christ made you alive when you got saved. He made you born again.
Mm.
Well, he didn't have to get you to heaven, but he did that. Amen?
Mm.
That's a good thing. I like that. Nothing like starting over. That's a good thing. I mean, being alive in the Spirit, that's a good thing. Amen? And being able to communicate with God and hear from God, that's a blessing. That's what that's all about. And consequently, in the same context, I should say, the Bible indicates the fact in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that you became a new creature. Now, some of you are more creature than other folk, but that's just the way it works out. But the thing is that you became a new creature. And that's a new being, so to speak, that God has in you. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the next verse says this. It starts out in the first part. It says, and all things are of God. So all those new things are of God. And so God did that for you when you got saved. Amen?
Amen.
Came a new creature and he just started a whole new thing with you. And that being in you, that new creature, has to do with Jesus Christ. It's to form you and to make you ultimately bring you to the place where you conform to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It is that thing that grows, if you will, that thing that grows by the Spirit in you, that development of grace and truth and understanding that's in you is that new creature, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now you benefit from that, and the thing is that you basically can be that creature. That's eventually what God's trying to work out in you, is to bring that out of you.
Mm.
In the same context, turn to Colossians chapter 2, in the same context of that. This is really good, I like this part. In Colossians chapter 2, very interesting passage of Scripture. Not everybody is aware of, because it's you just kind of read over it, and because of the words that are used in it, you tend to forget what it's about. But in Colossians chapter 2, it says there in verse 9, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 10 it says, "And ye are complete in him." Well, how about that? So in Christ you're a done deal, amen? "Which is the head of all principality and power." Verse 11, watch it carefully. "In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands." So it's not physical. "And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." That body of sins, according to Romans chapter 7, is your flesh. You're you. You're who you, the body, the thing you live in, your house, so to speak, as God calls it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is the place you live, so to speak. But it's not you anymore. Mm. And you're disconnected from it. You've been circumcised. You've been cut away from it. And you are now separate from that flesh. It says, buried with him in baptism. It's like a baptism. You're now immersed in the Holy Spirit inside your body. You're no longer directly connected to your body. "Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith." Notice it's called an operation. The faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. So he did that for you. And you are separated from your flesh. Turn to Romans 6 while I'm talking. You are separated from your flesh. And consequently, sin no longer has anything to say about what you're doing. Now you didn't need that to get to heaven. You didn't need it. You didn't need to be free from the flesh dominating your life and telling you what to do and so on and so forth. And by the way, you are free from it. The flesh shouldn't have to tell you how to behave. You should be telling it how to behave. That would be good. But in Romans chapter 6, as a result of what that was, that circumcision, that cutting away of the flesh, so to speak, this is what happened to you. The Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 6 of Romans, "Knowing this, that our old man is," present tense, notice, "crucified with him." Now, when we talk about, well, I'll tell you that in a second. "That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." There you go. Verse 7, look what it says. "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, how about that? There's a deal. Now, think about this. You say, well, I'm not dead. This is what dead means. If something happened to you, just say you're sitting here tonight, and you go thunk, thunk on the floor. We call 911, come over quick. They're not breathing. No pulse. Nothing's going on. Nothing in the eyes. Come get them. Hurry, hurry. They come get you. They throw you in the thing, and they haul you out there. And on the way there, they try to hit you with the paddles. They do things to you, et cetera, et cetera. They get you to the hospital, and you take you in there, and they hit you with the paddles again. They stimulate you, do this, that, and the other thing. And you are non-responsive to stimuli. That's dead. If you don't respond to the stimulus, you're dead. And that's how it is. That's what dead means in the context of Romans 6, 7. He that is dead is freed from sin. You are non-responsive to sin. God has made that possible for you. Sin doesn't have to tell you what to do anymore.
Right.
Well, I couldn't help it. I had to sin. No, you didn't. Well, you sin because you like to.
That's right.
You want to. You enjoy it. There are some sins you commit that you find fascinating. They're just a lot of fun. Amen?
Yeah,
I guess so. Look down at verse 11. "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead." Read that, non-responsive indeed unto sin. Come down to verse 18. Watch this carefully. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Where God flipped it over, where before you were controlled by sin, now you have his righteousness in you, and you can be controlled by righteousness.
Amen.
You have the power to be righteous.
Glory.
In behavior, not just in theory. Because of the righteousness of God in you. In other words, yeah, you can. You don't have to do wrong. You don't have to do sin. You don't have to be subject to all the stuff around you. You can do right. His righteousness is in you. The Old Testament law wasn't designed to create righteousness. Get rid of that one. It wasn't designed to create righteousness. It was designed to reveal righteousness. Mm. And if you obeyed it and adhered to it, you were considered righteous. And if you disobeyed it and didn't adhere to it, you were considered unrighteousness. It was the standard. And it revealed righteousness. In this day and time, there is no standard except for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ dwells within us. But fundamentally, we've been given the righteousness of God, which is holiness, which doesn't have any sin in it, which has no weakness whatsoever. And so therefore, we can do right. Because we are righteous. You don't have to try to be righteous or develop righteousness. You have it. You need to live it.
Amen.
You didn't need that to get to heaven. The day you got saved, if you'd never done another thing for God and had nothing happen to you that was any good, you'd still go to heaven because you trusted the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That paid for your sins. That made the way to heaven. He didn't have to do that for you.
Mm.
You didn't need righteousness. Why would he care if you're righteous or not? I'll tell you in a minute. All right. Furthermore, according to the scripture, you receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, the Lord told them to tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The Spirit's going to come. And we know that happened in Acts chapter 2. And we know that they were never the same after that.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples were never the same after the Holy Spirit showed up. Whereas before, they were weak and vacillating. Peter denied the Lord. The other guys, not really solid. After that, straight on. Straight on. They weren't perfect, but I'll tell you what. They're all a lot better off. They behaved a whole lot better, did a whole lot better, had a little more effect too. Amen? And God didn't have to give you the Holy Spirit to get you to heaven. He knew where you were. You weren't wandering around down here, and the Lord said, hey, Gabe, had him on my mind here. Where'd they go? That was it. God knows where you are. He put you the Holy Spirit in you, for he had a purpose in that. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is to guide you into all truth. Amen? And think about this. The Holy Spirit's in the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? So that God can convict your friends about their need of him.
Mm-hmm.
Not to make you feel good.
Right.
Not just so you can enjoy it, amen? Although it is a blessing.
Mm.
But it's not for a feeling. It has a purpose to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't need that to get to heaven. Could have easily made it there without the Holy Spirit. God knows what's going on. He knows how that works out. Furthermore, turn over to, tell you about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last verse says, and we have the mind of Christ.
Mm.
The mind of Christ?
Glory.
We have the mind of Christ? We can, see, the mind is that which you think with, amen?
Yeah.
And in the context of that verse, fundamentally, it's talking about a spiritual walk and having a spiritual understanding. I mean under the influence of the Holy Ghost in that context. And, wow, that's a blessing, amen?
Mm.
You realize you can think not like Christ thought. You can't think like Christ thought, but you have the power to understand what he understood. Amen?
Mm.
You can understand things now after you're saved that you could never understand before you're saved.
That's right.
I tried reading the Bible. You may have done this too before I was saved.
Mm-hmm.
I tried reading it. I had a big old family Bible on the table. At my father remarried down in Florida, had a big old holy Bible, white, and you open up and you start reading. Didn't have a clue. Not a clue. It wasn't even words on a page, it was a jumbled mess. And I read about 8 verses and I say, what in the world is this about? But after I got saved, read it cover to cover. I went through that thing. Wow. Oh, 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 hallelujah. That's cool. I like that.
Amen.
When I got done, I said, wait a minute. I must have missed something because there's a lot of things they said were in there that I didn't see. Oh, I went through it again. They still weren't in there. Weird how that works. They still aren't in there. Folks are weird how they look. Well, it's in the Bible. No, it's not. A lot of things aren't in the Bible that you think are. But the thing is that with the mind of Christ, you can understand things about God that no one can understand without the mind of Christ.
That's right.
You have access to an understanding. You can grasp concepts. When you talk to some of your friends who aren't saved about spiritual matters, they don't know what you're talking about. It's just my wow, 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 wow. That's it. That's all they're hearing, man. They don't have a clue. You wonder why they don't tune in and ask you questions. They don't even know what you're talking about. kind of an idea first, ask a question about something. So they have to get saved. Because then, and it's interesting, I've led people to Christ who didn't have a clue. Lead them to Christ. Next week you're talking to them like you've been talking to them, like they know everything, known things for 10 years. Because they now can understand what you're saying. Weird how that works. So you have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Furthermore, you've been made one with Christ in God. I tell you what, turn to John chapter 17. You want something that should get you lifted off your seat. This verse is amazing. John 17. It says here in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word. That's us. John chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus Christ prayed for us. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Wow, that's a spiritual application. Why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now I can preach on the unity of the Spirit. I'm not going to, that's not my purpose tonight, but you should get a hold of that. You'll never be unified in a group in the sense of getting along and everybody agreeing about everything. If you try to do that, you're going to frustrate yourself. But spiritually, you can be unified. Because in Christ, we're one. In the world, we're different. But in Christ, we're one. The Bible even says that in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, male nor female. Now, it looks like there's a few females and males here tonight, okay? At least, wise, I hope. Yeah, there better be. Anyway, because never, I don't say anything else. But that is the way it works out. In Christ, that's possible because it's a spiritual thing. And all these folks, well, we need to just believe, you know, all get together. No, we don't. I don't want to get together. We'll just stay unified in the Spirit. Help yourself, do your thing. Well, folks disagree doctrinally and so on. That's right, exactly right. The body of Christ, did you ever notice this, that you have it's likened to your physical body. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you read that? Romans chapter 12. Ever notice that you on your body you have a left hand and a right hand? You can be thankful that you do. And you can be thankful that they are exact opposites. Because they work together nicely that way. Amen? You have a left leg and a right leg. Aren't you glad? They're both right legs. You'd be walking around in circles everywhere you went. It's a hard thing to accept. But there are differences in practicality in the body of Christ. The unity is in the Spirit. And it's hard for folks to get that, but it's true. Amen? I hate things that are true that I don't like. So you're one with Jesus Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You're a new creature. You got the Holy Ghost. God the Father and God the Son dwell in you. Really? And you have the Bible. You know, the Old Testament folks didn't get together like we get together and all break out their Bibles. Amen. Didn't have them. Guy in the front had one. That's how they want you to be today with the Greek and Hebrew. Just the guy at front knows something. Amen. That's where they want it to be. No, that's not the way it is. You can have the truth in your lap. You can have it in your hand. And you can understand it. Amen. Yeah, bless you. So you have the Bible. And then he gives you grace. I like grace. I always have liked grace. Grace is one of my favorite things. I like it, especially when other people have it. Because when I deal with them, it's easier. I don't have to have as much. Amen? You always want other people to have a lot of grace. So they get along with you better. Amen? Because they need it. So the thing is, you have all this sort of... You didn't need any of that to get to heaven. Why do you have it? Isn't that weird? Why did God make you like you are in the Spirit by His power, give you the mind of Christ, teach you the Bible, help you understand things, separate you from the flesh, separate you from sin, put you in a place where He has direct access to you and you have direct access to Him? Why did He do that? You didn't need it to get to heaven. Once you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were gone. The rest of it, never had a dime's worth of activity in you, you still go to heaven. Mm. Why did he do that? Well, here's the thing. Did you ever read the Bible what got us into this mess?
Satan.
No, it was not the devil, it was Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our first parents, say that. Oh, he was hanging around the garden where she shouldn't have been. You know, the devil showed up and just talked to her. Showed up like an angel of light, like a, you know, he's a serpent, but he's an angel of light. That part of him is, that's another story altogether. But, and just talked to her and so on and so forth. And the devil said, hey, like that tree? We're not supposed to mess with that tree. Now, we're not supposed to touch it or eat it because we'll die in the day we eat thereof. God said, we'll touch it. If we touch it, we'll die. The devil said, really? Well, you're not going to surely die. Surely he doesn't. He's not that kind of a God. He's not going to kill you for eating something, is he? Is he that kind of God? Is that how he is? Is he that mean? That you eat something, he's going to kill you? Really? Look, watch this. Am I dead? No. There, see? He's not that kind of God. He's a nice God. He's a loving God. He's gracious. He's merciful. He would kill you for eating something. Oh, really? No, you know, he does have a problem, though. He's kind of keep you from it, so you don't understand things the way he understands them, because then you'll be like him, you know. I'll be like God? Oh. Really? Well, I wonder, it is a pretty nice tree. Pretty. No, it really is pretty. It's a pretty tree. And it sure looks like that food would be good. And, boy, it sounds like it would help me become wiser. Well, I think, yeah. I think you're right, and I think what God, maybe I didn't understand it right. Maybe my husband didn't get it right. Maybe he didn't understand how God really is. I think I'll try it. It sure looks like it would be a blessing. Ate it. Well, that wasn't a big problem. Big problem when she got back to Adam, good buddy, and he saw that he was in a tight spot. Because that was his only wife. I mean, she was the most beautiful woman on earth, because she was the only one on earth. I mean, she said, honey, will you love me till I die? He said, do I have a choice? Anyway, I'll go on. So, he should have done something different, but he didn't. He ate of the tree, and that took care of that. And here we are. They both disobeyed God. Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken to the fat of rams. Do you realize what Jesus Christ did when he was on the earth? Mm-hmm. Not once, ever, under any circumstance, at any time, in the slightest detail, did he ever disobey his Father.
Amen.
Not in the slightest. Because if you do it the slightest, it's still a sin.
Yeah.
The Bible says that God's going to judge every thought.
That's right. Good.
Not the actions, just how about the thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
We're bring every thought into obedience. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Or no, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 or 2 10. Just get both of them. We'll find the right one somewhere. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I preached on this and I don't shouldn't know where it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, in verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations, watch it, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, you have the mind of Christ. So you can obey God in everything. Because that was his mind. Wow. Imagine that. You see, God went through all this to cause you to be able to obey him. He won't make you obey him. He won't force you to obey him. He won't sit down and clobber you and knock you in the next week if you don't obey him. We all think that. Well, I got away with it, so God must not care. Not so. Not so. No, the issue is basically that you have a free will and you can make the choice. Mm-hmm. See, Adam and Eve lived in a perfect environment. Mm. Wow. I mean, you'd have loved it there. It was you talk about a permanent vacation. I mean, this place was cool. You could eat off the trees. There were no bugs. You had no problem with that critters. Never got cold. Never got hot. I mean, it was what everybody where everybody goes on vacation, amen? Except they have to wear clothes. And the thing is, they'd like to not wear clothes either. But that's the way it works out because of the fall. But the thing is, they lived in perfect environment and still made a choice against God. They disobeyed Him. Do you not realize the fact that our fundamental problem, therefore, not the result of sin, but the result of who we are, our fundamental problem is that we cannot or will not choose to obey God. We choose whether to or not obey God. That's insane. Do you think you disobey God at no risk? Just because you didn't pay for it right now, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. The Bible said about the thing, and then in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they didn't die physically, did they? They died spiritually, didn't they? That's what we say. They didn't live out 1,000 years. 1,000 years is what the Lord is a day. Nobody lived past 1,000 years. Ooh, that's touchy. They thought, might have thought after 500 years, well, we got that beat. 600 years, we're cruising.
Still breathing.
Comes out to 800. Feel a little older, but I think we got this thing licked. 980, thud. Yeah. Took care of that. That's just the way it works out. Do you understand how much effort God put into enabling you to obey Him?
Wow.
And how much He did so that you could? Obedience is the bottom line with God. He's always tried to get folks to obey. Turn to Romans chapter 8 for a second. Notice, this is really kind of weird here. Romans chapter 8. Now, notice a few things in this chapter. Verse 3. Romans 8. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
See, it was the flesh. You kept the law, the Old Testament law, by your own power.
Yep.
And, well, it didn't work too well, as you can see. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The key is the Spirit. For they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. That's negative. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now look at verse 7. Watch this. Watch it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You realize that in your own natural state, you have a very difficult time doing what God says. You only do it on your terms, not His terms. You only go so far. You only give God so much in your own natural state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You won't give Him what He expects. You won't follow Him like you're supposed to. Because you can't. It's not possible. Most Christians live a carnal life.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority do. Why? Because it works for them. They get away with it. They find a bunch of folks like them that they hang out with.
Come on.
So they can agree to do what they please.
Amen.
Exactly.
In their relationship with God. But nobody's trying to come under complete obedience by walking after the Spirit. And here's the key. Who's in control?
None.
Who runs your life? You or God? You might think God does. But I'll bet you'll be surprised one day to find out He's not running as much as you think He is or like to think He is. I think you've got God under control where God does things like you think He should. You're not doing things like God thinks He should. You should. And control is the factor. Control is the whole deal. Mm-hmm. Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to live the way we can make it work. Mm. By faith means God controls your money, your time, your energy, your person, your body, your mind, everything about you. But, you know, I see things a little differently somehow than God. Congratulations. That's quite a feat. You know what that makes you? You just overthrew the authority of the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth in your life. You just told him no. You wouldn't do it intentionally, but you do it subtly, and you do it by the carnal mind. Not that you're wicked, vile, despicable, disgusting, offensive people. That's not the issue. It's obedience and control. You see, when the devil became the devil and stepped down from being Lucifer and became Satan, you know what he wanted to do? This is what he wanted. This is what he wanted.
Come on.
I want to be God. I'm going to overcome God. Really? Listen, I was thinking about this the other day. Do you realize how dumb that is? Do you not realize that he persuaded a third of the angels to go with him? Do you understand the power the devil has when it comes to persuading people against God? If he can lead a third of God's created beings who stood in his presence and knew him directly, saw him, knew who he was, if he could lead them astray, you're nothing by comparison.
Right.
When it comes to dealing with that. So he can mess us up without even stretching himself. Do you not understand why God did all these things for you?
Come on.
And what he did it for? To enable you to come to the place where you subject yourself to him 100% in everything? Because that's how he is God in your life. As long as you're pulling the strings, you're playing God. I don't think you're that good at it. I know this much, you don't know the future like he does. And furthermore, you don't understand the consequences. I don't understand the consequences. I've read about a few of the consequences in the Bible. I'll tell you what, they're not nice. When it comes to going against God, they are not good. They definitely have a negative application. And some of it eternally permanent. Brethren, our business here is to help folks find Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Living like we please and doing as we please, when we please, and how we please is not going to cut it. Coming under subjection to what God says and how he says it, and letting him run your life. Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Mm. Everybody loves God. Everybody loves God. Man, I've had people just about cuss me out and say, I love God. Really? You're having a hard time proving it to me. If you love God, you keep his commandments. And his commandments mean that one of the contexts, I think two verses away, says that you will love the brethren. And you will work with the brethren. If you love me, keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. You know who his commandments are? They don't list them as 10.
Right.
They list them as Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then on Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. You might even kick in some James, and 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 1 and 2 Peter. You know, it's the book. It's the New Testament. That's his commandments. You ever read Romans 14? 13? 12? And try to do them? Give it a shot. Just figure that out. Just apply yourself to it. You can't do it in your own power.
Right.
You won't be able to. I know a lot of folks get very frustrated with Christianity because they can't do it in their own power. Well, duh, you're not supposed to. No wonder you're frustrated. I think it's a good thing you're frustrated. You should be more frustrated. You should be actually ready to quit. Because then you'll realize the fact that Jesus Christ in you that matters, not you. supposed to obey him and do what he says. I have not found that as easy as I like it to be. But I know this much, the Holy Spirit does not sin against God. The Holy Spirit cannot sin against God. Whereas the carnal mind cannot be subject to the Lord, the spiritual mind pretty much has to follow him. Isn't that weird? Everybody thinks you're a little spiritual, a little carnal. You're one or the other. You can't be both at the same time. Because they are direct conflict one with another. Unless you're schizophrenic. And I've been accused of that. Some of us have that problem because we have two natures in us. And we understand that. But the fact of the matter is, in reality, you have that conflict all the time. But most people don't study to be filled with the Spirit. Because their lives are quite comfortable the way they are. They're well in control, and it's going the way they think it should, and they like it. However, they're not obeying God. Because they're not subject to him. Tell you what, if the Lord went to that much energy and time and application to cause you to be able to obey him, you should invest a bit in it yourself. You should read your Bible and see where the verses are. Read your Bible some morning when you get up and sit there and say, Father, today I'm going to read your book. Your words that you've written for us. What would you have me to do with it today? What part of it would you have me to obey? How can I bring myself under subjection to you? Help me, Father. Fill me with your Spirit. Guide me in this matter. Help me to live today completely subject to you. Without consequences or fear, but to trust you explicitly. If you get out the door in that condition, that'd be good. But you're going to have to work at it. And most folks don't even care. That's just the way it works out. If you wonder why the Bible says in this day and time that the church is wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked? Because they don't, and they don't even know it. Really? And knowest not. You think one thing, and so you don't know what God really thinks of the whole situation, how he sees it. Isn't that something? You say, whoa. It must be somebody else. It can't be us. It's got to be those folks down the street. Well, check the mirror out and see what God says about it. You might be surprised. Obedience. Very important. Very important. God did everything he could to help you obey him. You have to make a choice to do it. And you'll choose to do it or not do it. There's no middle ground. Hard part of that. Amen? You ever raise children? You know this much. You want to teach them to obey you, don't you? Just do what I tell you, will you? We'll get along a lot better. Thank you. But isn't it something if they do obey you? What's wrong with them? They're doing what I said. No argument. That's weird. Imagine if your son came in to you one day and said, Mom, Dad, got something to tell you. Oh, really? What is it? Well, I was in church the other day and read the Bible. Oh, good, good. The Bible says I'm supposed to obey my parents. Because it says it, I'm going to do it. Want you to know, won't be easy. But what you want, you get. From now on, you tell me to do something, I do it. You expect something of me, I'll fulfill your expectation. Got it? Really? Who are you, really? Tell me, who are you? Who's been talking to you? Let's say they did it. Huh? Son, I want you to go to bed at 10 o'clock tonight. 10 o'clock, he's in bed, ready to go to sleep. Normally that's 11:30 and I got to fight for him, but for that. Do your homework before you go out to play. Yes, sir. Take the garbage out right away, sir. Wash the dishes. Yes, sir. Do you mind taking the laundry out of the... Yes, Mom, I'll do it right now. Really? And this goes on for weeks. He means it. How would you treat that boy after that? I mean, wouldn't you be nice to him? Listen, you could have fellowship with him, couldn't you? You could sit and talk to him like an adult, like he was grown up, because he's sure acting like one. You say, I don't want you to hang around that crowd anymore, the people that you have at school dear, that you call your friends. I know, they're not that good. Okay, I'm done. You pick my friends, Mom. You pick my friends, Dad. I'll hang out with you, tell me that, or not. Really? This goes on for a couple months. Goes into a year. That boy, I'll guarantee you, would have your attention and the attention of every neighbor you got.
Yes, amen. Mm. Yes, amen.
And in school, his teachers would be wondering what motivates him.
Yeah.
And don't you know that testimony can make a big difference in a lot of people's
yes.
lives?
Yes. Mm. Yes, amen.
Do you not understand how important it is to obey God?
Yeah. Mm.
If that's what a human being can do in an area, imagine what God can do with people that obey him.
Mm.
Explicitly. Without question.
Yes.
At the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Not later.
Yeah.
And not whether they feel like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said so.
Yeah. Glory to God.
That could get some attention.
Yep. Mm.
Church is in the condition it's in because folks do what they please, when they please, how they please, because they please. Got that? That's what's going on. Think about it. Maybe there's something you could change. Might help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and grace, and thank you for equipping us to obey you. God, it's our free wills that cause the problem. We know that, but you gave them to us so we could choose to love you and choose to follow you and choose to obey you. And you made it so we could understand what that means. Help us to follow that, Father, to please you above all else. We thank you for your grace and kindness. And thank you for saving us and giving us hope to help us while we're here to be those people that please you as best we possibly can. But by the power of your spirit and by the things you've equipped us with, we can do it better than we think we can on our own strength. Help us, Father, to be spiritually minded and to let you have your life, your way in our life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. What a message.
Oh,
what a message. Glory to God, brother. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen?
Amen?
That's what he preached. Glory to God.
Yes.
Not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Yes.
Oh, what a
yes.
precious privilege. That's why he saved you. Glory to God. Woo! We're going to take a love offering for the preacher. And if you need a offering envelope. Anybody raise your hand if you need an offering envelope. Okay, I see hands. If you're going to make a check, make it up to KJV BBC for $1,000. And it'll go directly. Anybody else need a Yes, please. Anybody else? Okay. And make it up to KJV BBC for any amount, and it will go directly to Pastor Tom Bard. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals for a time of invitation as you're preparing for the love offering.
About 247.
Timmy, I got one picked out.
Only trust him.
I surrender all. 240. Brother, we'll do that. We'll do that another time. But this is important, this song right here. I want everybody to stand. And as we come to sing this hymn of invitation, the altar is open. And all I can say is, if you didn't hear what the preacher said, you're deaf. You're not saved. But all to Jesus, I surrender. That's all he wants. Amen? 240. We'll sing all five. And if you need to come, the food can wait. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all. Before we sing the third, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, how we thank You for Your people tonight, and how we thank You for the message tonight on a complete surrender, Lord. A crucified life in which You live through us the life that we cannot live. Oh Lord, that's our desire tonight. By an uplifted hand, You'd say, preacher, pray for me. I want that surrendered life. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hands up all over. I want to be completely surrendered to Jesus Christ. I see those hands. Put them down. Praise the Lord. And as we sing on this next stanza, I'd ask you to come forward and make that commitment to the Lord. This altar is open for you in Jesus' name. On the third.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee, fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. Sing,
I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Before we sing the last, I feel the Lord is still moving. Souls are at the altar. God is working, but I feel there's more. There's more that need to come. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit calling you right now to a complete surrender, say, Lord, I'm done running my life. I want You to take over. Come on forward. Oh, come on forward to the altar. Jesus is waiting on the fifth.
All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full surrender. Glory, glory to Your name.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all, I surrender all, I surrender all.
Amen, amen.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the joy at the altar. There's one thing the preacher forgot to say. As a result of surrendering all, the joy unspeakable and full of glory is ours in Jesus Christ. Oh, what a life worth living. It's the only life worth living. Father, how we thank You tonight for this precious service. Thank You for the message, Lord. Why did you save us, Lord? But to enable us to obey your will and word. Oh, how we thank you tonight, Lord, for this outpouring of your Holy Spirit, oh God. In this time of invitation, you are moving in this church, Lord. How we thank you for that. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful that we're a real New Testament, Bible-believing Baptist church. I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that you've opened the doors and you keep them open. And I'm thankful, Lord, for these precious souls. These precious souls, Lord, that are part of this ministry. Lord, I ask your richest, fullest blessings upon each and every one that has made that commitment to give you everything, to surrender everything, to stop trying to do it on our own and let Jesus Christ live through us by his Holy Spirit, this wonderful sanctified life. There's nothing like it. And we're so grateful tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said,
Amen!
Amen! Amen. Praise the Lord! Woo! Oh, what a service!